All right, what's up, everybody? I don't usually talk baseball. It's hot stove season. But one of my good friends is here, Steve Lima, one of the few people I ever talk baseball with seriously, because it's hard to find people who know what they're talking about, hot stove season. And even during the regular season, when the Red Sox run full swing, even though he's low-key a Giants fan. What's up, Steve?
How we doing, brother? Nice to see you.
I know, dude. I know. Lots happened since the last time we talked. I think you made a couple of bold predictions the last time we were together. And let's just go off of the free agents that have been signed. Let's go with Cole. What'd you think of it?
I think it's worth the money, to be honest. And especially from his standpoint, you can't turn down, $324 million. Do I think it was the best location for him? No, I think that he would have shined brighter in Hollywood, but I think you can't reject the money that you're given. And he's also going to be in New York, so he's going to be in the face of Times Square.
Literally.
He's making a lot of money, so he ain't going to be complaining, but will he live up to the $36 million annually?
And, like, do you think that'll solve the Yankees' issues? Like, do you think that puts them over the hump to the World Series?
I don't think it will, just because you have to think that Tanaka, he's still dealing with that elbow issue.
Yeah, that always looms.
Will Severino come back as a star pitcher? Or will he have a mediocre season next year? I think he had a great season this year, but will he continue that into next year? Especially because the way he ended the season, he looked terrible.
Yeah, he was not good when he came back.
He looked horrible. And the Yankees were a little, like, stingy on putting him out there as a starter in the end. And I just think that they should have went a different route. They should have just had him out of the bullpen.
Yeah, ease him in. Yeah. Ease him in. Yeah, I don't think it solves everything for them, but I think it's what – I mean, they can afford it. They're the Yankees, so I don't know if there's a wrong move for them. But, yeah, I don't know if it finishes that team off and makes them. I think if they get Hader from Milwaukee, then they're the team to beat in the AL, because they have the best bullpen probably in history if they have three or four straight closes in their pen. But another signing just happened the other day, Rendon to the Angels, and I like it a little more than you do. I know that's a big ballpark, but I like him with Trout, and I think he's a guy who, like the way he said it, he didn't want to go to the Hollywood, and that's not who he is. He's a Nationals, DC kind of low-key guy, and he's one of the guys that I think will make the transition from NL to AL flawlessly, like DJ LeMahieu.
You know, I really hope so too, because I personally love Anthony Rendon. Mm-hmm. He showed a ton of grit, a ton of heart when he was with the Nationals. I think he deserved the money he got, and it's about time that the Angels spent a little money for Trout around. I think that it's time for them to go out and get a starter. I don't think they're going to solve their starting rotation problems with the current free agents left. I think they have to go out and make a big splash. Yeah. I don't know who it could be, but they need to go out and do something, because they don't have the best rotation in baseball, and they haven't made the playoffs in who knows how long.
Yeah, since the lackey, the chicken and beer Red Sox team blew that. One of Trout's first few years, they were in a wild card game and lost, I think. I think that's what it was. Because I remember he was not very good. That's when he still had that hole in his swing.
Yeah, 2014.
Yeah, 2014. Yeah, when he couldn't hit pitches high. They would just blow heat by him at the top. And then Madison Bumgarner. I mean, God, absolute steal for the Diamondbacks. That has been the best signing hands down so far. Hands down.
I love him. I love Madison Bumgarner. I've always been a big fan of him since he was with San Francisco. I think if the Diamondbacks make a big run, which I think they very well can, that they got their guy. I think they're going to be their number one. I think they need to get a number three or four in there. Mm-hmm. But I think that the Diamondbacks are pretty set when it comes to the starting pitching.
Yeah, and it's funny, because who would have thought when they let go of Corbin that, like, their rotation would get better? I mean, he got better on Washington, but, I mean, I feel like that was a mutual departure.
It was unbelievable. Good for Patrick Corbin. He must be the happiest dude in the world.
I know.
First year into the contract, he wins the World Series.
I know, and he was great, too. He was great.
He was unbelievable. He was well worth the money that they paid for him. It was great.
Yeah, he absolutely was. And then, talking about another dude who just got a crazy contract, I feel like this is the theme with the Rockies. They sign a guy to a huge contract, Todd Helton, Troy Tulowitzki, and within a year or two of the contract, they're gone. I mean, I think it's a mistake to trade him. But what do you think? Do you think he's going?
Is this Nolan?
Yes, Nolan Arenado.
He's, without a doubt, in my opinion, the best third baseman in baseball.
Hands down.
I think if the Rockies were to trade him, I think the package would have to be monumental.
Yeah.
But besides that, I think he's also in a Trout scenario. They're two of the best players in baseball, and they've really never had another offensive weapon around them. And I'm not going to say that the Rockies had bad pitching, because they really haven't. They've had, you know, at least a mediocre starting rotation every year, and they've had a good bullpen. But why aren't they making it deep? Because they have no depth in their batting order.
No.
It's only Nolan Arenado, who's hitting 35 home runs a year, and he's batting over 300.
Yeah.
There needs to be something around that.
Yeah, and it just – do you think he thrives outside? I know he's had – not trouble. Like, he's a 280 hitter outside – or 270 hitter outside of the Rocky Stadium, which, like, is still, like, a good average. But do you think he – do you think teams are worried, like, if you trade for him, it's like – that bat not might be as great because he's not in that altitude and he's not at Coors Field?
No, just because I feel like Coors Field is one of the toughest hitting ballparks in all of baseball. And I think there's certain environments where I think Nolan Arenado will thrive in.
Yeah.
Like within a smaller field, especially a left field fence. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's why I think that there's certain teams that, like the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Phillies, who have cold, who are predominantly in a colder climate,
yeah,
will try to go after him and pay the money, mm-hmm, and make a big change of that.
Yeah,
it's a matter of who's going to pay the most for him, or because I think the Rockies will trade him. They're known for it. They're known for trading their best players, but who will actually give the Rockies the most money?
Well, you know what's funny is if the Red Sox had the cap flexibility, I would love to see a. Throw a Benintendi, Price, and a prospect. Move Devers over to first because he's a little bit of a liability at third. And then you have the best third baseman on both sides of the ball. And then you have Devers with the bat still at first. I mean, I wish we had the money for it, but we'd have to eat Price's salary along with that.
It's just not possible.
It's just not. It really isn't. 2 years ago it was. But it's not now. And to transition into the Sox, I've heard – I don't know if you agree with this, that the Kluber trade, which we'll talk about in a minute, helped the Red Sox greatly, greatly in trying to move Price. Like, it opened up that market, and it'll help them have a little wiggle room.
Now it comes down to the big moment. Will the Red Sox actually cut payroll? Will they actually try and trade David Price? Will they try to trade Chris Sale? It's a matter of who are they going to get rid of? Are they going to try to keep Mookie? Who knows? I think that it would be a mistake to let Mookie go, but I understand it from a baseball standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Do you really want to give him $330 million? Do you actually feel he's worth that? And I don't think the Red Sox do. So I think that ultimately I think the Red Sox are actually going to keep David Price, but they are going to cut payroll, and that's why I could see a Mookie getting traded midseason and JD also getting moved at some point.
Yeah, wow, so JD.
I could see a JD trade this season.
I hope not, man. What I think is going to happen, I do think Price, I'm going to say Price and Bradley, I think they're to San Diego. I really think so.
I think Bradley's going to go somewhere else. I don't think Bradley's going anywhere where the Red Sox current players are going.
Yeah.
I think he's going to go do his own thing. I think it's time for Jackie Bradley to find a new home.
100%. I mean, it's just – the laser of an arm, but if you do have Mookie, that makes up for it. And you have JD play the field now, and he's not a liability. I'm honestly done with Benintendi at this point. I love the kid. He beefed up. He seems like he's trying to prepare in every way, but the production just hasn't been there. And, I mean, he's coming up for a contract soon, and how much do you really want to give him? It's just tough, man. There's too many – I feel like there's too many – guys that they could move with too high of an upside. And it's like, do you want to look like a fool for trading them? And then, like, someone else pays them and they get that great player. It's, do you really want to do that?
I agree. It's so hard to, like, come to terms with it. Like, they know that they have to get rid of someone.
Yeah.
And it's not going to just be one. They got to get rid of two or three guys. And it's a hard time in the Red Sox right now. They just won the World Series a couple years ago. But now they got to see some of the guys that helped them win. That they have to let go because it's just not good for their future teams.
Yeah.
So I think it's tough because I think Price, he's been worth the money and I think he showed it. And he seems like he genuinely wants to still be here for the money.
Yeah.
And I want him to stay, but who, if we let JD go and we decide to let Mookie go at the end of the season, now we have a huge gap in that lineup.
I don't think anyone would let that happen. I think it's one or the other there.
I do.
And I hate to say this, and I hate to be this dude, but if you told me I have to keep JD or Mookie, I'm sorry, I'm keeping JD because he costs less and he's been more efficient. He's a better bat, and I don't think Mookie's fielding is that much – I mean, it's obviously better than JD's, but I don't think it's that much of an X factor where it's like he's got Jackie Bradley's arm and glove where it's like a huge drop-off. But, like, you haven't had over 85 RBIs in three straight seasons, and you want $330 million. It's like, okay – like with Bryce Harper, it was like you're hitting 270 or 260, but you're putting up 110 RBIs and 30 plus home runs. And I get he's a leadoff guy, but at some point, man, you gotta consistently hit with runners on base. And I haven't seen it from him, even in the World Series run. He wasn't the top two or three best players in the playoffs. That's just how it was.
He definitely wasn't that.
He wasn't.
He wasn't that X factor in the World Series run. Like the guys like Jackie Bradley and Steven Pierce were.
Yeah, he just wasn't.
He wasn't. And he played a big part in the regular season. I think he played a part in the playoff run, but he wasn't that guy that the Red Sox looked to in the big moments.
No.
It's a hard thing for him to, like, come to terms with. And I think that's why he's in that moment in his career where it's like, do I really want to stay with the Red Sox? I've already won a World Series with them. You know, what does my family want to do? Do I want to go closer to home? And I think that's what and why he wants to go to free agency. He wants to see if he can go to maybe a warmer place or see if he can, like, be in a place that's better for his family.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it's going to come down to.
And it values him, too. Yeah. I mean, because it's like you said this the other day, it's like the John Lester situation all over again. Yep. Except Lester didn't want crazy money. He wanted reasonable money.
He wanted 100. He wanted five for 105. This is $105 million in the beginning of that friggin' preseason.
Two rings, playoff legend in Red Sox history. And it's funny. You know what I really want to do? You know what I want to do? I want to just absolutely stick it to the Yankees and just trade Benintendi or Jackie Bradley in a prospect or a good pitcher and eat the salary and just get Josh Hader. We need a bullpen. Yeah, that's the one thing I feel like we're all worried about the salary cap, but it's like we have no bullpen. We have arguably the worst bullpen in the American League. And imagine this. Kimbrel was as a heart attack on the mound, but I would have given him that money.
Looking back on it, yeah.
Yeah. I just think it was foolish. I think that was just so foolish.
It was, again, the Red Sox were in another money situation where they had to pick somebody. And unfortunately, Kimbrel was very, you know, I think he was very stubborn on it. I think the Red Sox were willing to give him $20 million for 1 year, but he wanted a long-term deal. He wanted $100 million, and the Red Sox weren't going to do that at the time.
And it's funny because I remember when Kimbrel was on Atlanta and he was on the Padres, he is the only closer ever to throw 40 saves in his first three seasons. Like he was on pace at a point to break the saves record if he had played like 13, 14 years of a straight closer. And obviously it's not the case now, but he's in Chicago, I believe. Is he there for another year at least? Or is he on the market, Kimbrel?
He is with Chicago. He signed a 2 or 3 year deal.
Yeah. As we're letting, before we get into the Texas Kluber trade, Chris Bryant, does he go? I don't think they should get rid of him.
Yeah, I don't see the Cubs trading Chris Bryant. I think that they're going to keep him and Baez there for the long term. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to make the arrangements to keep him around.
So, Correa, Bryant, Lindor, which one do you think gets most likely to get traded? I think it's Lindor. I think it's Correa.
I agree. I think it's Correa, and especially with the scandal not being full, like the fines and punishments haven't been handed down yet. I think Houston's getting prepared. I think they're getting ready because they know that they're in trouble. I think Correa's going to be gone. And, you know, I could see Springer possibly being put up in the market, depending on how bad, you know, the fines and punishments and who they actually affect are.
Yeah, and it's funny because I feel like they're at least in a good spot where it's like you have good young guys like Gurriel, and like other guys in your system that come up, and it's like, okay, all we have to do is spend on pitching and then build from the inside. And I feel like they have that down. I mean, they probably have arguably the best rebuild we've ever seen right. over the years. Because I remember there was a Sports Illustrated article in 2015, and it was Houston Astros 2017 champions. I was like, what? I have the cover of it with Springer on it still in my bedroom. And I was like, wow, they might be right. And they hit it on the head. But I think they're in a good spot. I don't think I think the Indians trading Lindor would be a huge mistake, gigantic mistake. I think he is that franchise as of right now, and he's good still. Like, it's not like he's underproduced.
Yeah, I don't see him going anywhere just because they already traded Kluber. Are you going to go – if you're going to a full rebuild
– yeah, that's tough.
How are you going to go into a full rebuild and you only get two guys back for Kluber?
I mean, what did you think of that trade now that we're on it? What did you think? I thought it was okay. I thought the Rangers definitely won it.
I agree. I think the Rangers got Kluber for a steal.
Yeah, and he's owed $21 million this year, and he has a $22 million option. So it's like you're paying a top 10 pitcher in baseball $22 million. It's like he's going to get – if he was a free agent, he'd get coal money almost. I mean, he'd get at least 25, I think, on the open market.
So they got
– DeShields and a prospect.
Emmanuel Clase. Emmanuel Clase. Okay. With huge potential. You know, this is a deal where I see it being a long-term
turnout. Yes, I 100% agree. I think he's staying in Texas.
Oh, I agree. I don't see Kluber going anywhere now. Now it's just a matter of Texas can go out and grab a replacement third baseman, considering they got nobody there anymore.
I know.
And they just got rid of who else? I heard I was reading that Elvis Andrews was up on the block. They were trying to move him around.
I mean, I don't blame him a lot. He's getting up there in age, and he's been a Texas guy for a while. You think Donaldson could go there? Because they'll spend money. The Rangers got money. They'll spend it. I mean,
you know, I'm thinking, you know, I'm kind of surprised Donaldson's still on the market.
Yeah.
I think he's looking for a 3-year deal, probably in the range of like $60 million, $70 million. I think the Rangers will give it to him. But I also believe that he's going to take another 1-year deal with Atlanta. Yeah. I think he really liked it there. And I guess his agent and other reports are saying that he genuinely liked Atlanta a lot. So,
yeah, it's funny. I know none of that. Atlanta is so good right now. And that's funny, man. The Klubers. I honestly like the way Texas is headed. I mean, I would love to see a team in the state of Texas match up with Houston. I mean, that'd be a cool rivalry to see. You know what I mean? They could meet in a wild card or a playoff game, and that would be pretty cool to see the Rangers back on top like the 2011 days. To switch on the other side of the league, the NL East, man. I mean, I feel like that is like the NFC East of baseball, because there are like the teams are so close together, but there's never really one that separates. And if I'm picking a favorite right now, it has to be Philly for me. It has to be for me, because I still think Aaron Nola is the best pitcher in that division, outside of Max Scherzer. Outside of Max Scherzer, because Max Scherzer's an all-time.
Max Scherzer's a gun. He's still better than Verlander. I'll throw that out there.
Better
than Verlander.
They're very close.
They're very close. I think, and this isn't taking anything away from Justin Verlander. I've watched him growing up, and he's spectacular. But you know, when I've always. All the games that I've watched Max Scherzer in, he is just so locked in.
Might have the greatest fastball.
He's intimidating.
Yeah,
as a
really
pitcher,
is.
And he's not the tallest dude. He's not the biggest dude, but it's just the way that his windup is, the way he just looks at you. He is probably, if not the most intimidating pitcher in all of baseball.
That's very true. The only reason I side with Verlander over him is because we saw Verlander lose the 100-mile-an-hour speed. Because I remember when. Tigers Verlander would go 89 the first inning, 91. And then it was like the seventh inning, and he's throwing 101 in the seventh inning. You're like, wait a minute. That's not supposed to happen.
You know the umpire said something to him, so he's all messed up in the head. He's trying to throw it as hard as he can.
Him and the juice baseballs. But in the NL East, I think the worst signing this season so far had to be Rick Porcello to the Mets. I mean, I didn't think he got a big contract, but I can't believe – the Mets are really putting their – I think they're in a good spot with him because they lost Wheeler to a division rival in Philly. But now that's your second – that's your third guy. I mean, I get – that's not a bad third guy. But, I mean, how does Rick Porcello do in New York? I think Zach Wheeler does much better in Philly.
I agree with that because the way that Rick Porcello has been pitching over the last couple seasons, ever since his his Cy Young season, he just hasn't been the same.
No, absolutely not.
He looks like he's kind of changed up his windup a little bit, and it's definitely seemed like he's lost a lot of velocity. A lot of batters aren't scared of him anymore. They're willing to go up there and swing at the first pitch. So, and now he's going to the NL East.
What was the contract, by the way?
Was it 1 year?
Oh, it was a one. Oh, okay, then it's not terrible. I thought it was two. I'll take that back. I like that deal better than Wheeler's, but I think Wheeler was a much better pitcher. Maybe an option
for a second year, but it was guaranteed 1 for 10.
That's not bad, then. I mean, he's your third guy, and I feel like this is the way it goes in baseball. Pitchers that go from NL to AL get racked. When they go from AL to NL, they do well. Hitters go from AL to NL, don't do great. Hitters go from NL to AL, they do very well.
Oh, man, I couldn't agree more with that.
It's crazy.
Any guy, and I say this about people who grow, like, this is what I see from MLB players who have grown up in the South, out on the West Coast. Guys like Adrian Gonzalez, when he got traded to Boston, was horrible. Mm-hmm. He was a horrible Boston Red Sox player. But then he went back out to the Dodgers, and he was a better player.
Yeah.
Guys who start in the West Coast, who are born out on the West Coast, they play better out on the West Coast. But then if you throw them to, you know, Boston or New York, where it's significantly different and it's colder, they just don't play different, and their mentality just goes to a different state. So I just don't think guys from the West Coast who have always played in the West Coast will play better if they go to the East Coast.
I think the few exceptions I know Cespedes didn't play better, but when he's healthy, he's good on the Mets. Like, and it's cool that they restructured that contract, by the way, for him to earn less. I thought that was very noble of him. And I think the Mets are a sleeper. I mean, they could get Correa. I think they're better. I think they're a better bet to get Correa than the Dodgers. I really do. Because what do the Dodgers do? What do you do with Corey Seager if you get him?
Right. Oh, Corey Seager, he's a tremendous player.
Unbelievable.
He's a tremendous player. I think the Dodgers are in great shape. I think they're going to win the NL West again. I think they're just set up for the long term.
Yeah.
And that's why it's been, you know, fun to watch them, but it's also been sad because they haven't capitalized. They've lost twice.
But you know who I blame for all of it?
And who's that?
Dave Roberts. I have to. You have to. Listen, you know me. I'm a big analytics guy in baseball. I really am. But when it comes to the playoffs, you got to throw it out the window because he made multiple critical errors in back-to-back World Series where you take your guy out too early. You put him back in too, you know what I mean? Like, there was multiple errors where you were like, wait a minute. What's going on here?
What are we doing, Dave?
Yeah, it's like, dude, he's like, no. Oh, there's a lefty up? Oh, I'm going to throw in a righty because this righty, you know what I mean? The analytics say this righty is great versus guys righty, that don't hit fastball. It's like, wait a minute, dude. What happened to the classic baseball stuff? You throw lefty versus lefty, you throw righty versus righty, and that's it. And I don't know. I just think he's got them. He's played them out of multiple World Series and playoff games, and I think he's a good manager for the clubhouse. But it's like when you get down to that, stop listening to the front office, dude. Stop listening to that analytical stuff up there, man. I feel like it's the same problem Oakland's had for years. Without the, I mean, obviously, Oakland pays everybody, the whole salary is $36 million. So, you know what I mean?
They got the bottom of barrel salaries.
That's actually funny that they keep making the playoffs with horrible. That is like the biggest story in sports. Besides, it's like the Rays.
They refuse to sign anybody over 100 million.
They just can't afford it. They really can't. Back to the NL East. Can Philly do it? Can they make the playoffs with Bryce? Is it going to happen this year with Didi now and Zach Wheeler?
I think the Phillies had a strong team last year.
I did too.
And I think they significantly underplayed again.
Yes.
And at the root, they just who's their manager now? They just hired a new manager.
Was it Gabe Kapler?
No.
He got fired.
Kapler's the manager of the Giants now.
But he left, though. He left Philly to go to.
No, he got fired.
From Philly, yes. Yeah, so I mean, he got fired from Philly to go to.
Yeah, I think Philly's got Joe Girardi now.
Is it? It is Joe Girardi. Yeah. That's a huge upgrade.
That's a good manager.
It is. That's a good manager. And they have money. Like, if you give Joe Girardi money, and he's managed big personalities, so to manage Bryce Harper and those guys in Philly, I mean, that's a good spot for him. I think that low-key might be one of the best signings of the offseason. Seriously.
Yeah, I think Joe Girardi will bring that Phillies pitching staff to another level.
I hope so, dude. I said this. I believe Nolan Arenado's a top 10 guy in the league. His curveball's phenomenal. His slider is very good. His fastball's good. I mean, but in that division, it's tough. Max Scherzer is – I'll say, like I said this earlier, the three best pitches of all time outside of Greg Maddux, we've seen. Verlander, Scherzer, and Clayton Kershaw. We've seen them. And maybe if you want to throw Pedro or Randy Johnson up there too. But we've never seen any three guys with this long sustained success outside of Clemens, but he was juiced through the gills. Yeah. I won't take that away from him, but he was, and it was a different era. But yeah, man, I mean, let me see Philly's roster. I know we're looking at it right now. Look at those veterans, though. First of all, go back. Look at this. Go to the right. Hold up really quick. Where's my guy right there? That is not Roman Quinn.
That's not Roman Quinn. Who is this guy?
That's what's his name. Who's their third base? That is Miguel Franco. Google has him seriously labeled wrong. That is Miguel Franco.
I was going to say, that looked like Miguel Franco.
Who the hell is Ramon Quinn?
I don't know who that is.
Yeah, that is not a real guy. It is not a real guy at all.
Where's Pivota? Nick Pivota?
Kingery has been great this year, too. Or great last year, too.
Yeah, he played all around. He's a good utility guy. He is. I do like Zach Eflin. He got lit up in a bunch of starts last year, but he's actually a solid pitcher.
Yeah, he was always the guy that was on the free agent in fantasy baseball, and you pick him up and you do the spot start. But do you think Philly be interested in a guy like Brock Holt? Because I know you think he's coming back, but I don't. If he does not come back, do you think Philly's a spot for him?
I think Brock Holt will go wherever the money pays the most.
Yeah,
I think that's Philly. You think Philly?
Philly or the Yankees, because I think the Yankees would love to stick it to us, and they need depth.
I can totally see him ending up in Anaheim. I think he's had his eyes on Anaheim for a long time.
That's a great lineup, right? Because you would think you have Brock Holt leadoff. You have Rendon, Calhoun's in Japan right now.
He did. He signed in Japan.
Say who they ever throw it to, then you have Trout, Rendon, Pujols, Shohei Ohtani. That's not a bad lineup. It isn't.
But if you're the Angels this year, though, are you going to throw Ohtani more on the mound or in the lineup? Or when he's pitching, are you going to keep him in the lineup?
I would use him more as a hitter. I know they need the pitching, but that elbow scares me to death. Like you said earlier, I would love to see them get a guy. I mean, this is kind of an old name, and he hasn't been great, but I would love to see them get either Cueto or Samardzija, a guy with real pedigree who's pitched. I know they both haven't pitched in the AL very much, but they've done it both. I mean, they have done it. I mean, Samardzija was on Oakland for a while, and he was phenomenal while he was there.
Shark, man.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Remember that? When he get traded after Oakland? Because it was the Cubs, right? No, he was on the Cubs. Then he went to Oakland.
Samardzija's been on the Giants, right?
Yes, he went from the Cubs when they were rebuilding to Oakland.
Yep.
To San Fran, I believe. Because yeah, he was on the 1 year.
He signed a 3 or 4 year deal with San Fran.
Because they traded Addison Russell for Samardzija. That's what the trade was at the time.
Yep.
And I know Oakland lost in the first round again. But, I mean,
Soon enough, Oakland, and it's kind of funny though, because Oakland has never been a bad team. Even when they've had bad seasons, they've never been the worst team in baseball.
Never. Does it happen?
They've always produced to a point where there was bright spots.
Yeah, they had the same. Bob Melvin might be one of the best managers in baseball. He has to be.
I agree. That's why I respect the Athletics keeping him for so long, because I think he's done a tremendous job, and especially because they've been over 500 for the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, and you know what's a huge loss for them? A friend of mine is actually really good friends with this guy, Blake Treinen. That's a huge loss for them. That's huge. Now that he's on the Dodgers, now they give Kenley Jansen a little relief
Yeah, after getting shelled all the last postseason.
Oh, my God, and then the heart issue, whatever he had, man. And the last thing, just to wrap this all up, Giancarlo Stanton, I mean, the Yankees have to move him. No, you have to get rid of him.
And listen, man, I think that the only way the New York Yankees are able to trade Giancarlo Stanton.
You gotta eat it.
I think not only are you going to eat it, I think the Yankees are going to want, you know, a big return on it. You know, I could totally see, and this is, again, we're going back to the Rockies. I can totally see a big trade between the Yankees and the Rockies for Nolan involving Stan, involving Aguilar, and Clint Frazier and a couple prospects. And,
wow.
And I can totally see it happening because the money will be able to even out.
Wow.
I think it will be a big trade if the Rockies decide to actually move on from Arenado.
But they're eating some of – they're eating the whole Stanton salary. They're eating that.
I think they would eat the majority of it too.
Okay. Yeah, so wow, you think Andujar, Frazier, and Stanton for Nolan and a reliever or something
say,
like that.
I think the Yankees would give up a couple of prospects too.
I think the Yankees' biggest mistake last year was sitting Clint Frazier for Stanton. I thought the kid was hot. He brought juice. And you let him develop. I mean, there's no prospect. I hate to say it because he's a Yankee. And he was on Cleveland before that. And I really liked him at Cleveland. But they moved him. He is my favorite prospect in all of baseball. I really think that kid has it.
It's been a shame because I agree. I think him being on the field when he was for the Yankees last season, he was dynamite.
Yeah.
So what? He had a week or two where he just was down, and that's when the Yankees sent him down because he got frustrated.
And it just happened to be
they didn't give him the support because Stanton came back and he got frustrated. So that now they're just giving up on him.
Yeah.
The kid can play ball.
100%.
And if it's not in New York, so what? Trade him.
Yeah.
He doesn't care. He just wants to play baseball.
Yes.
And he's most definitely MLB ready.
There's no
reason why he should be in AAA.
Oh, man.
And I think they can get a good package for him. And I think they should give him the chance to actually play.
Yeah. Do you think the Yanks go maybe more starting pitching? I mean, I think in the back of their heads they know. You might not trust Sebi. Okay, but he has a lot of upside. We like Tanaka, but we don't love him. And Hap is a coin flip.
They were trying to move Hap.
Yeah.
Which I think that'd be the biggest mistake they'd make.
He's a good lefty.
I think he's the lefty at the back end of the rotation that they always kind of had in the rotations. And I think he's a solid back end of the rotation pitcher. And I don't know why they're trying to trade him. They just signed him last year.
Yeah, I don't know.
And he didn't have a bad season last year. He had a mediocre season. He had a lot of good starts. He had a couple of bad starts. But I don't see the need to trade him when you already have a slightly depleted rotation. How long is it going to go or be before Tanaka's elbow actually gives out?
Yeah.
He never had that UCL surgery.
He never did.
He's rehabbing it. It only takes one game, one throw for that elbow to be done, and now the Yankees only have four starters.
Mm-hmm. That's why I think they're – I really think the whole Nolan – I think you're right. I think you hit the nail on the head. That's a big possibility. But if they get one more reliever or one more starter, because the biggest cure to a bad starting rotation or an iffy starting rotation is a great bullpen. We saw it with the Red Sox when they won it. Price was good. Sale was good. Porcello, iffy. What's his name? Erod, iffy. And it was like, wait a minute, when we could defer to the bullpen and we had Evaldi out of the bullpen and we had like a long-term reliever, that was huge. And I think they have that luxury. And if the Yankees – again, the Yankees aren't the favorite right now. I still think Houston's the best team in the AL, pending Correa leaving or not. But they need a starter. I think their lineup – they're so stacked in as far as hitting that I remember when Hicks came back, they were like, do we play him? Do we not play him? It was like – that's a good bet.
What did they sign him for? They signed him for 5 to 7 years.
Yeah, Hicks is wrapped up.
So they have him locked up as their star center fielder for the next 5 years.
Yeah. And who's that kid that came up last year for them? Was it Bird? Or who was that first or third baseman they had?
Bird was at first.
Bird was good. And there was another kid there,
Aguilar.
Too.
Aguilar was there.
He was hurt all season.
And then
I know, you know who I'm
Torres.
Taking Torres, Gleyber Torres is phenomenal.
Yeah, he should have won Rookie of the Year.
Didi was a big loss.
I think it was – I think they both knew it was coming. I don't think that was a loss of where the Yankees were surprised because the money they didn't want to keep Didi, and I think Didi was ready to go a separate ways.
I feel like it was the same thing with the Stalin-Castro situation. They're both great hitters, overachieve a little bit to the contracts they were on, and they were just like, hey, like, we know you're the Yankees, but I feel like the Yankees are like, we'd rather sign a big-name guy in your spot. Like, dude, imagine if the Yankees trade for Correa. I know that's kind of out of the realm of possibility because Houston hates their guts. But if they offer them the house, Frazier, and every prospect they have or good prospects, and it's like Houston's like, damn, like that's the best offer on the table. Like, I know that's kind of crazy. But, I mean, you never know with the Yankees. I mean, they're honestly the biggest wild card in baseball. They really are because they can do whatever they want when they want to, and no one can really stop them. And they have James Paxton, the kid Urshela. That's what I'm thinking of. Urshela. Great year. Who else is there? They still have Chad Green out of the bullpen. Ottavino, Britton. Oh, my God, dude. They're so stacked. It's
I can see the Yankees, if they do decide to go for a reliever, I could see them trading Chapman and somebody else for Hader.
Yeah, and they have Luke Voit.
And they're trying to move Chapman because there's been some issues internally, yeah. I guess. So, you know, when that internal problems start to come up, that's when trades start to happen.
Yeah, and one more thing before we hop off. Gary Sanchez, how many more – I think this is his – if he doesn't produce and catch, like actually catch, I think he might be out of there.
Gary Sanchez is probably going to end up being their DH at some point.
He might be, as far as we've seen ever, the best hitting worst catcher ever.
I can see it happening as of like this year. I think they could very well go after an actual catcher. And I don't think that's a guy you get rid of either, Gary Sanchez. I think he's kind of the backbone of that 4-5-6.
Yeah, he is, because that power is a difference maker.
And I don't see him I think he'll be a Yankee for the long term, but in the DH role. But I as of this year, as of right now, the top team in the American League is definitely the Yankees.
Yeah.
I think the Houston Astros are going to have a bad year next year. They're not going to be a good team.
They're kind of in limbo.
They're in a tough state. They're in a tough state. I think the Yankees – they're going to be tested, but I still think they're going to end up pulling out 100-plus wins next year.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I just hope we can keep up. Hope we can keep up. Man, it was great having you on and talking to you. We'll talk more baseball soon. I mean, it's hot stove, and it's exciting. I can't wait to see what's left.
I appreciate you having me on, brother.
Of course, dude. No one else I talk baseball with. You know that.
Of course, man. Thank you very much.
Peace out, guys.